Hi, I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
If you can't make your local town meetings but want to attend, WGXC can help. Currently, local volunteers make recordings and live web streams of the Catskill Town Meetings, the Hudson Common Council Meetings, and the Columbia County Board of Supervisor Meetings. If you miss the live web streams, volunteers post recordings of these meetings as soon as possible at WGXC.org on the newsroom page and in the audio archives. If you're going to local meetings and you have a phone in your pocket, you can help too. Email info@WGXC.org and WGXC will help you share recordings of local meetings and events. You can also use the free WGXC app, available in the App Store, to do your own live webcast from local events. Contact info@WGXC.org for more information about how you can help share valuable local information about your community with your friends and neighbors.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cornelius Eady of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Catskill Clubhouse.
27 hearts beat.
Here's what we do at the clubhouse. 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 It be fun at the clubhouse. Music stay loud at the clubhouse. Staff be cool at the clubhouse. Not just mine, just your house. Music program at the clubhouse. Got a drum set at the clubhouse. Got a piano at the clubhouse. Make your own beats at the clubhouse. Get on the radio at the clubhouse. Share your voice at the clubhouse. Express yourself at the clubhouse. Tracks program at the clubhouse.
Welcome to Clubhouse Radio, broadcasting from the Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra, Catskill, Hudson. That was an original Clubhouse theme song by DJ WIC, who is with us today as we are in front of our studio audience preparing to bring you Our Town, Our Truth, Cultural Appropriation. All views expressed on Clubhouse Radio are our truth and may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse's parent organization, the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. I am DJ Kansu, here with
DJ WIC,
DJ Ty, and DJ A.
Hey y'all. So, we're in our third week of cultural appropriation, right? And we've done a lot of talking about what it looks like, how we feel about it, but let's get a little bit more specific about it, right? So, y'all did a little bit of research, I did a little bit of research on what culture means and what appropriation means, right? So, do you want to give us maybe what you found? And
all right. So, I found it straight off Google, like, it first comes up. The definition of culture is the customs, arts, social institutions, and achievements of a particular nation, people, or other social group.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that seems right.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I went Merriam-Webster side, online Merriam-Webster dictionary, and got the customary beliefs, social forms, attitudes, values, and goals of people of a racial or ethnic background.
Okay.
Right. And then I know also it was 2 days ago, I guess, at this point, everybody did kind of a circle around what culture is to them specifically, right? So maybe we could do that here. I don't know. Like, I said that it smells food, or smells, sounds, and memory, and, like, inside mm-hmm. understanding, mm-hmm. right?
And I said that culture to me is, like, a collective group of, like, everyone that has, for some reason, just has, like, the same, like, kind of feeling. I don't mm-hmm. know how to explain it. It's more like a collective thought, but it's not really a thought. You know what I mean?
Collective vibe.
Yeah, collective yeah. vibe.
I feel like it's, like, traditions and mm-hmm. heritage, you know, mm-hmm. like, things that have been there for a long time.
Like rituals?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know some other people said that falls into rituals, customs celebrated, right? Mm-hmm. Other customs, right?
Language.
Right, there we go.
Memory, sounds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Collective thoughts.
Right, and so that's what kind of shows up in terms of what culture means for a lot of people. Right, I know for me, it's something that might be specific to Black culture mm-hmm. is dreadlocks.
Yeah. yeah. Well, yeah.
Right, or yeah. afros.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So,
like braids in general, like, uh-huh. well, not braids in general, but like, you know, African style braids mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Right. So it's interesting. Actually, I was out last night at a place that I frequent, and that I know, he is Sicilian, it turns out. And he was like, oh, I used to rock an afro back in the 70s. I'm like, you didn't rock an afro. Like, that's not an afro, right? Well, you had really curly hair.
Curly mm-hmm. hair.
You might have rocked some Richard Simmons hair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. yeah, but it was not an afro.
But it was not an not afro. An afro. So, I don't know. What do y'all think? Should we listen to a poem that kind of talks about culture? Or do you want to talk about... I mean, it still talks about cultural appropriation. Or do you want to talk about what appropriation means so that... listening to these different poems.
We can go in with the video. All
right, cool.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Okay, great. So this is called Hide Your Shea Butter by Crystal Valentine and Aaliyah Jihad. We did listen to it this week on the Word Shop, but we didn't get really a chance to, or last week on the Word Shop, but we didn't really get a chance to discuss it. So we're going to do another listen through and really get into it this time.
Gotcha.
Attention, Black women. I said, attention, all Black women. We are entering a state of emergency. Kylie Jenner has been slipping into the back of your BSU meetings.
Been importing your cookout playlist while you were in the shower.
Been checking your YouTube history when you go to sleep. Kylie Jenner is turning into a Black woman right before our eyes.
She's been taking notes, made a cheat sheet, and shared it with her besties.
And it is time we defend ourselves. No more giving away our secrets.
When you invite your white friends over, hide your shea butter.
Hide your coconut oil.
Hide your lock gel.
Let those white dreads unravel. I don't care how fly your twist out is. Don't you dare take that shit out in front of no white woman. It is not that we do not trust white women.
It's that Rachel Dolezal stole 14 Black years and we have yet to retrieve them.
Do you know how many white years that adds up to? This is supposed to be 87.
But no more.
No white thief shall prosper against me. No more think pieces.
No more YouTube hair tutorials.
We gotta keep our secrets under lock and key. From now on, everything will be uploaded to your Dropbox account.
The password is get in.
They watching.
You'll receive an email.
When they ask who did your crochet braids, say your dead ancestors. Seeing straight out of Compton does not make them straight out of Compton. Not even if they daddy listened to N.W.A.
Not even if they mama fucked Ice Cube.
Stop hyping up mediocre attempts at Blackness. If Becky's booty pop looks more like a crockle.
If Andrew's Millie Rock ain't sturdy,
let them know. They will not Black trivia their way into our family dinner table.
It's not just that you take what we create.
It's that it always gets lost in translation.
I say Bantu knots.
You give me mini buns. I say corn rolls.
You give me boxer braids.
I say hip hop. You give me Macklemore.
I say Nene. You give me Hillary Clinton on Ellen.
I say nigga. You say nigga. This has never been a conversation. It's been a game of telephone.
It's been your ear pressed to the key. keyhole at the front door of the function.
It's been you cutting my mic and singing the song I wrote. It's not that we don't trust white people. It's that y'all really think my black looks better on you. It's that you think getting black makes you black.
It's that you're having black babies who'll grow up to be the black women you torment.
It's that you white people have called me a racist more times than you've called Darren Wilson a murderer. But no more. We are taking our culture back. We are packing up our shit and leaving. We are leaving white folk to be creative on their goddamn own.
Alright, welcome back to Clubhouse Radio. That was Hide Your Shea Butter by Crystal Valentine and Aaliyah Jihad. Let's talk about it, y'all.
Yeah, let's talk about it. So, I think, well, for me personally, in the beginning, when they said that Kylie Jenner was turning into a black woman, like, in front of our eyes, I think what they really meant was that she's turning into what, like, general society sees black women as. Like, you know, like, the skin tone and, you know, exaggerated features like our lips and our buds and stuff like that.
I mean, so she's trying to co-opt.
Yeah, exactly.
Those things, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was like for me that the beginning was like kind of off color. Like, is she really turning into a black woman, or is she turning into what people see a black woman as?
I think that's the kind of tongue-in-cheek of this, right? It's and to understand, this is a YouTube video also that we've watched, and it's two young black ladies. One with a blowout hair and another with like crocheted hair.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And
sorry, we've got a little bit of studio noise, so we're gonna check in on that right quick and just take a quick song break, and we'll be right back to keep talking about this really, really intense poem. So. Nope. Wait. Poem's still playing. All right, Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio. That was Juicy by Doja Cat. And we are back talking cultural appropriation. And we are dropping back into a discussion of a poem called Hide Your Shea Butter. We were specifically talking about there was one point at which the poets said, I ask for, I asked for Bantu knots. And you gave me
mini buns,
right? I asked for cornrows, and you give me boxer braids.
I asked for hip-hop, you give me Macklemore.
Yeah, Macklemore, right? But what I'm interested about, actually, with that comment is what's the... Because I know recently there was a lot of stuff about Eminem getting called a culture vulture, Tech N9ne defending him, Nick Cannon still going on about it. And, like, what's the difference for you between Macklemore and Eminem, if you have any
I never listened
on
to
that.
Macklemore, so I don't even know.
Yo.
Yeah, me neither. I don't be listening to that.
All right.
I mean, I've heard some of it, but I think this is all coming off of assumption for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think Eminem was raised around that lifestyle. That's an assumption. I don't know if that's a factor.
I mean, I think his music's really transparent about what he's been through, and yeah. It seems like he's so right. Like he's for the culture, right? It's that idea of what y'all were talking about mm-hmm. like how Miley was like, "Oh, I'm in it," and then turned her back.
Yeah,
on
she was
it.
Doing
like,
it for
oh.
the profit. I think Eminem's doing it because he's like for it. He's not mm-hmm. just doing
like
it.
He's
so,
like, trying to express like what right. he's been through.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's not like, "Oh, I'm gonna try to."
Make money off
make
of it.
Make myself seem like I'm in a black situation, so
right.
I make money.
No.
Like, sometimes it's like, where's the line of culture? Like, you don't know if it's,
there's
like,
definitely
them embracing, you know, mm-hmm. or trying to make it as their own.
Yeah, as
you know?
There's a difference between appreciation and appropriation.
Right. Yeah. And speaking of, we did some more definition work around what appropriation means. So, y'all want to start off with your definition mm-hmm. of what you got?
Once again, straight off of Google, the definition of appropriation is the action of taking something from one's own use, typically without the owner's permission.
Okay, and from Merriam-Webster, the one that matches up as best with cultural appropriation as an understanding was to take or make use of without authority or right, right? Mm-hmm. And appropriation also gets used when talking about money also, so it's interesting what y'all were saying uh-huh. about profit, right? Like they're doing these things for profit, doing it to make money mm-hmm. instead of it
and
just being.
And I liked
being...
how in that definition it says to make use of, like people are mm-hmm. using it. Like, they don't actually like they use it right. to like promote themselves or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I think that and oh, in terms of making use of, right? So that ties us into another poem that y'all were listening to, and it's called "Cash Me Outside"
mm-hmm. yep.
by Jemaine Hill. And it's really about, like, why are you appropriating,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
So, and last week on the Word Shop, we had an interview on, and there was a lot of talk about, you know, having more likes and, like, why you try to dress in a certain fashion and, like, what are the reasons
oh,
that
yeah.
you're imitating a certain... Right, you were on
yeah.
the interview,
yeah.
DJ Ty. You were on the interview. So you remember that, like, why do you have mm-hmm. likes? Like, why are you
yeah.
dressing a certain way? Like, what's the purpose of your appropriation? Is it for money? Is it for
profit?
Is clout?
Like, to feel
are you
good?
Trying to
make
yourself?
I don't know.
You think it's trendy? Or,
right, exactly.
This is real life for some people.
Yeah, like, it's real life. Like,
yeah,
I live
exactly.
that. Like, that's how I
right.
live my everyday life.
Right.
Trying to take it and just use it. That's disrespectful.
It's mm-hmm. true, right? So let's take a listen to this poem, like I said, by Jemaine Hill, Cash Me Outside.
When the white girl says, cash me outside, how about that? What she's trying to say is, catch me outside, how about that? She's trying to say, if you have a problem with me, we can proceed to exiting this facility under the premise that once we have proceeded to the open air, the rules will no longer be the same. In fact, it is highly probable to surmise that beyond these four walls, outside to be exact, the rules no longer exist, allowing for us to engage in activities of which I can best describe as knucking, if you are in fact bucking, after taking all of this into consideration, how might you be disposed to my proposition? When a white girl says, cash me outside, how about that, she is dropping hard consonants in order to sound harder, to sound tougher, She is creating a caricature of black identity built on negative stereotypes, meaning her whiteness is reinforcing my blackness. When she says, cash me outside, how about that? What she means is her whiteness is fragile. Her whiteness is fragile, y'all. Her whiteness is just as fragile as my masculinity. What I mean is, I can relate. I too have requested conference in an outdoor location, followed by an inquiry of their thoughts on my proposal in order to prove my manhood. I too have lashed out in fear of being broken, in fear of being seen as less than a man than them white boys, y'all. I know what it's like to be the bully, to mistake violence for a safe space, to try and turn my body into Tom Brady, my target into Randy Moss, and make a football out of these hands. The funny thing is, I've only been in like two fights, both of which I lost. In fact, if one were to cash me outside, I would recommend that we reconvene at an indoor location at a later date under the supervision of some administrative or authoritative figure. Basically, these hands ain't as powerful as this mouth. And I thought I could build a castle out of dropped hard consonants and shards from my mother's glass ceilings projecting the man that I thought I was supposed to be, but I was wrong. So when the white girl says, cash me outside, how about that? I get it. I can relate. See, we were both reflections of our societal shortcomings. Too scared of shattering ourselves. How about that?
All right, welcome back to Clubhouse Radio. That was Cash Me Outside by Jamon Hill, and we're back talking about it. And so DJ Olivia just asked us a question saying, is he saying that he's okay with the way that the white girl is dropping hard consonants and imitating black language, quote-unquote, or what she assumes black language mm-hmm. to be?
Right.
Is he saying that he's okay with that, or is he saying he's understanding that? So, I mean, my thought is that he's saying he's understanding and still that it's not okay.
Yeah.
One way or the other, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So, specifically, he was talking about how it's a performance.
He was comparing it to his masculinity, too.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And so, this performance of toughness, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
This performance of, it reinforces the idea that black people are only tough,
yeah,
only aggressive,
only, tough and,
only
aggressive
yeah.
and violent and stuff like
right,
that. And they're trying
right.
to like make it seem like that, so they don't seem soft. But it's kind of weird because it's kind of what.
Yeah, know. And that was her approach. She was dropping those the consonants that
right.
way because she wants to come off as hard.
Yeah.
Or
because like, she knows that we like talk
she's,
like that
yeah,
on occasion.
Like she's quote unquote.
Yeah,
about
on occasion,
that.
Of course. Like on occasion, of course. Like not all the time, obviously.
Right.
But.
And that's and it sounds quote unquote harder, right? But I think that's the also beauty in this poem of how he continued to he was saying what she means when she says cash me outside is catch me outside. How about that? Like
uh-huh.
don't assume that all black people are quote unquote inarticulate
yeah.
or that Ebonics equal inarticulate.
Yeah, definitely not.
Which is not the case.
Not the case.
And she's also continuing to like use those consonants, not as hard as that statement she made, but she's still like talking that way, trying
right.
to come off
yeah.
as a hard person.
Like recently, she was talking about she has dreads in her hair now, and she was talking about how in Instagram video she said, "Oh, if black women can wear their hair straight and try to be white, then I should wear braids." And I'm like, "What? Like, ma'am,
dear.
Excuse me?
So,
huh?
Right?
Yeah.
Straight hair doesn't." Belong to any
yeah,
one
it doesn't
culture,
belong to one
right?
culture. That's an assimilation
yes.
of us trying to fit in with westernized culture.
Exactly.
But not at all like Northern Asians have straight hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you can't say, oh, I'm trying to be Asian because I have fine hair.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It doesn't make
right.
any sense.
And also, I mean, it's oh, you're trying to pretend to be white. It's like, I mean,
right, but
a
lot of white people try to make you feel like
you have
to. That's what you have to do.
Exactly.
So, like, like very different.
That's the assimilation piece, right? Where it's like, okay, well, I guess I'll straighten my hair because I can't get a job wearing
exactly.
my own hairstyle.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
And that ties into the point of like white people then when they wear braids and stuff
uh-huh.
like that, they go and they can do those things. But when we literally wear it as an everyday life thing,
we literally cannot get jobs and we're kicked out and all the other stuff, but you do it and it's okay.
So right.
That's the effed up part about it.
I've got one more poem that I think kind of speaks exactly to what y'all were just saying. It's by Crystal Valentine, not with Aaliyah Jihad, but one of the same women who was, she's the 2015 NYC Youth Poet Laureate, and she's performing a poem called Dolezal, which is referencing Rachel Dolezal, who we've talked mm-hmm. about, but that goes directly to what y'all are saying about, I can't be myself, but this white woman can put on blackface and take 14 years of leadership opportunity, work, recognition from someone who actually has black experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's listen to this poem, which will be edited on the back end for y'all.
In a fit of rage, my blackness drags Rachel Dolezal into the backway alley by the roots of her badly permed hair. Wow, girl. Don't you know you gotta take your black face off before a fight? Why are you standing in the corner like that for? You scared? You don't know how to fight? You gotta know how to fight, girl. Not like fist fight, but like the policeman's bullet is following you through the shadows and you gotta make it back home fight. Like you've just been pulled over and you don't want to become a Sandra Bland mugshot, so you gotta stay silent, gotta make your mouth a graveyard fight. Like the homeless man just called you a nigger and you have to spend the next 5 days apologizing to your skin fight. Have you ever been called a nigger, Rachel, in a fight? In a university classroom, in front of your 13-year-old nephew? Do you say it when no one's around? Whisper it like a blasphemous prayer sent to a white god? You think you black, girl? The only thing you know about a black woman's body is that you were not blessed with one. My skin will not fashion you a welcome mat. My skin will not make room for your name in my mouth. My skin will spit in your face. You think you black, girl? Your blackest moment is deciding what brand of paint to use for your black face. Your skin cannot pass a lie detector test. Your skin belongs in the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest standing Halloween costume. Your skin deserves a punch in the face. Come here, girl. You're so privileged. Take your mask off and get a newspaper spread. Get a featured spot on a talk show. Get an interview. Most black women don't even make the news until they're dead. Most dead black women don't even get a shout out during the commercial break. But there you go. Another white fiend lusting after something she ain't bleed for. Come here, girl. My fist will make you the blackest bruise you could ever wish to be. And you'll still prosper. You'll be a martyr for appropriators everywhere. You'll get a Lifetime movie entitled All My Life I Had to Steal. Kylie Jenner will play your leading role. Miley Cyrus will make you her spirit animal, will build a shrine dedicated to your black face, and you'll still prosper, and you'll still be a white woman. And if they kill me, they'll still cover your story instead of my funeral. Thank you guys so much.
Yo, wait, repeat that for me again.
Rosa Parks died in 2013.
Yeah, that messed me up too.
Like, I was alive. I was, what, eight years old. I could have fully been known. Someone could have told me. Because I think that's really important. Like, no one's going to talk about how this civil rights leader literally, like, died. And in our heads, we're all thinking, oh, this is hundreds of years ago. No, she died, like, what was that, 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was not that long ago.
Which is why when things like Rachel Dolezal happen, it's so much more, it's like, this is really close, right? Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of us have parents, grandparents mm-hmm. that were
exactly. In the if y'all don't era, understand like how not far away that was, literally the first Frozen movie came out in 2013. So I don't understand why y'all just don't know this.
Right.
I don't, like, it's crazy to me.
It was 6 years ago.
Yeah, 6 years
ago. People don't pay
ago.
Attention to that.
Mm. Like, it wasn't even like, what? What? This is so weird. Like, right. Nobody was talking about not the news, none of that. I would have known. If the note was talking about, I would have known.
Yeah, if it was on the news, trust me, I would have seen it.
On the
right,
fucking
it disappeared.
Newspapers, like, everything. Like, come on.
Black people get disappeared, right?
Exactly.
So, like, Rosa Parks' funeral is a blip
exactly.
in the national news, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
Rachel Dolezal is
she gets a whole
everywhere.
Thing.
Still everywhere. I mean, we're still talking about it right now. Yeah. Like,
exactly.
Man. Mad about it a little bit.
I'm a little mad now.
I'm a little mad about it. All right. No more airtime for you. So let's take a minute. And because after that, I don't know about you, but I need to chill a little bit. So let's take a minute. Listen to Miguel featuring J. Cole and Salaam Remy. Come through and chill. And we'll be back with Clubhouse Radio. More Our Town, Our Truth, Cultural Appropriation after the news.
Pick up the phone, show me it was real. Pick up the phone, show me it was real. Pick up the phone, show me it was real. Pick up the phone. Yeah, I don't wanna put no pressure on ya. I just wanna put a blessing on ya. Since our last undressing session, I'm not really sure if you've been checking. I'm progressing. I just heard my songs is popping out in Macedonia and even Serbia. I don't mean to burden ya. If you got a man since then, I understand. Last thing I wanna do is get you jammed. Especially if he's a fan. He probably never wanna hear my again. And I need every single sound scan. But if you single and you down, then I'm in your town feeling for another round. I was counting down the days, been more patient than a Browns fan. Where that chip at? Probably on your shoulder, cause I forgot to hit back. Left you on red. Apologies are said, but often never meant. Well, fuck, I repent for message never sent now.
Hello, stranger. It's been a minute since we last kicked it. By the way, just got in town, and I won't let cumulus clouds all in the sky ruin my vibe. Usually I don't do this often, but since recruiting isn't an option due to unusual rain and thunder, baby, I wonder, baby, I wonder, would ya just put your sweats on, put your sweats on for me, yeah, yeah. Cause I got the plug, I made the call for green, mm-hmm. I'm talking late night, boy.
A brief correction to our previous segment. Rosa Parks passed in 2005, but still. Should be more news on that. RIP and shout out, Rosa Parks.
Stranger, name's been waiting. Just as I recall that, still amazing. Playing, baby. I'm saying, baby, you love it. You know I'm crazy. So go ahead and pour a drink up. I'm so glad we got to link up. Yeah. Get to taking that off of me. Yeah. I got the plug, I made the call for green. Mm-hmm. I'm talking late night for ya. Let me lay a great time on ya. Don't make me wait, no, don't you? Mm-hmm. Just say you will come through and chill.
Reply, had you catching them feelings? Yeah. Know you been on my mind like Kaepernick kneeling, or police killings, or Trump saying slick, manipulating poor white folks because they ignorant, blind to the struggles of the ones that got the pigment. Lately I've been stressing because it seems so malignant. I need to feel your essence in my presence. If you with it, I guarantee you won't regret you
just
did it.
Okay, clubhouse, it's the fun house, it's the best house, bit of a mess house or stress house. We joke around or can be serious, so come here being versus or delirious. We don't make fun of, we don't bully, don't pull on the back a nobody hoodie, accept everybody the way they are, just facts, cause every time we sign in we make a pact.
Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, broadcasting from the Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM. Broadcasting Agra, Catskill, Hudson. I am DJ Kansu, here with DJ Thebes.
Thebes, what's up?
And we're in the second half of Our Town, Our Truth, Cultural Appropriation. We dropped in with DJ WIC, DJ Olivia, and DJ Ty in the first half of the show, talking a lot about some different poems and their thoughts on cultural appropriation, definitions, understanding. And now we're here. Right before the news, we heard a poem called Dolezal by... Let me make sure I get this right, because... Oh, I lost it. Oh, what was the name? Crystal Valentine.
Well done.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. And important in that was that they're, like, appropriators... get these long headlines in the news, and black women who are killed at a higher rate than I think anybody in this United States, specifically black trans women, go without even a notice or a name, especially during the commercial breaks, right? So I'd like to actually take a minute, and in 2019... there were at least 22 trans or gender nonconforming people fatally shot or killed. And I'm looking at this list, and I think I see four people that weren't black, and three of them are Latinx.
Mm-hmm.
So, to their names, Dana Martin, Jazeline Ware, Ashanti Carmen, Claire Legato, Malaysia Booker, Michelle Tamika Washington, Paris Cameron, Shinelle Lindsay, Chanel Scurlock, Zoe Spears, Brooklyn Lindsay, Denali Berry Stuckey, Tracy Single, Bubba Walker, Kiki Fantroy, Jordan Cofer, Pebbles LaDime Dime Doe, Bailey Reeves, B. Love Slater, Jamagio Jamar Berryman, Itali Marlowe, Brianna B.B. Hill, Joanna Joa Medina, and Laylene Polanco. Rest in peace. Let's take a minute and listen to a song selected by DJ Ty called Tyrant by Kali Yukis featuring Georgia Smith.
Thank you.
to Clubhouse Radio. That was Kaliukis with Georgia. I should have this. My bad. Kaliukis with Georgia Smith. There we go. Tyrant. We are in Our Town, Our Truth, Cultural Appropriation. And I'd like to reference and play a video by Francesca Ramsey that was featured on MTV Decoded, but is useful in terms of giving you 7 myths about cultural appropriation debunked. So, it's about a 6-minute segment, and I'll stop in between, you know, maybe say a few things here, but please take this in.
They say imitation is the highest form of flattery. What happens when it's not so flattering? The more you learn about the world and the people in it, you quickly realize just how beautiful and diverse it is. So where's the line between cultural exchange, appreciation, and appropriation? And why does it even matter? Here are 7 myths about cultural appropriation debunked. You're just looking for something to be offended by. It's just clothing, hairstyles, decorations, whatever. Don't you have something better to worry about? Okay, first off, it's possible to care about more than one issue at a time. The main problem with cultural appropriation comes from dominant groups borrowing from marginalized groups who face oppression or have been stigmatized for their cultural practices throughout history. Like cornrows. I mean, anyone can wear their hair in cornrows, but Black people still face stigmas for wearing them along with perfectly natural hairstyles like braids and locks.
So this piece on hair is what we've been talking about for a pretty long time now, going back to Black hair and now in cultural appropriation. Talking about the ways in which Black people have been fired or not hired for wearing their own hairstyles.
I'm doing it because I think it's beautiful and exotic. I'm just showing appreciation for the culture. Look, it's great that you find another group's culture beautiful, but in order to show you truly love it, you need to have respect and understanding. Take, for example, tribal tattoos. The Maori of New Zealand have facial tattoos with deep family meaning and cultural significance. But fashion designer Jean-Paul Gaultier used the tattoos in ads to sell sunglasses. And that's a perfect example of cultural appropriation.
No, this speaks to the point that we were talking about today about it's not the difference between appreciation and appropriation can be that monetization factor of making use of or taking something to use.
Culture that's being disrespected, so sure, you don't find it offensive. And if you know someone from that background who doesn't mind your tattoo, costume, or whatever, that's cool. But remember, that one person doesn't speak for all members of that community. Whatever, fashion, art, film, music always borrows from other sources. Plus, it doesn't hurt anyone. Sure, cultural exchange has been going on since the beginning of time. But exchange is mutual. It needs to be done respectfully. A couple years ago, Katy Perry did a geisha-themed performance with Japanese women dancing in the background. Not only was it super stereotypical, her outfit wasn't even from the right country. The Japanese American Citizens League said it best. The thoughtless costuming and dance routines by Katy Perry played carelessly with stereotypes in an attempt to create a Japanese aesthetic. And that kind of crushes the idea that appropriation is harmless. You're just trying to tell everyone what to think. Hello, thought police! Have you ever heard of the First Amendment? Nobody's telling you what to think, wear, or say. Marginalized people can't stop you from doing your thing, even if they wanted to. But if you think you have the right to use any cultural tradition just cause, that's where you get into oppressive territory. And if you genuinely don't care if someone is hurt by your appropriation, that's just crappy. So because I'm white, I'm automatically racist. And if I wear this clothing, I'm even more racist. This isn't about beating up on white people. Anyone can appropriate elements of marginalized cultures. Heck, Pharrell even made the mistake of wearing a Native American headdress on the cover of Elle magazine. And after getting some much-deserved flack, he actually issued an apology. If Chinese people wear blue jeans, aren't they appropriating my culture? Or what about black girls wearing blonde weaves? Or how about speaking English? Okay, this is a tough one. Assimilation and appropriation aren't the same thing. Marginalized people conforming to standards set by dominant, or in this case, Western cultures, is often a means of survival. When your cultural heritage is looked down on, often people change or hide things about themselves in order to be accepted by majority culture. For example, there are schools where students have been punished or even suspended.
Extremely useful because this is what we were talking about in the first half of the segment, right? Assimilation versus appropriation. Marginalized peoples often assimilate in order to survive. That's just real.
Not at all. For example, say you're invited to an Indian wedding and you're not Indian. Wearing a traditional sari or getting henna would be a great example of cultural exchange. You're being invited to participate and enjoy the culture instead of just picking and choosing parts of it for yourself. You can also travel, take cooking classes, read books, listen to music, and visit museums if you really want to learn about and enjoy other cultures. Here's the thing. Cultural appropriation is about a privileged group misrepresenting and disrespecting marginalized cultures. The originators rarely get credit, but always deal with the consequences. The goal isn't to shame you out of wearing or enjoying certain things, but listening to the people from the culture you're interested in shows you have a genuine love, respect, and understanding for something that's not your own.
That's the real question, right? Do you have love for the culture?
Or maybe you had some misunderstandings yourself. Tell us in the comments below, and we'll see you next week here on Decoded.
So that was Francesca Ramsey with MTV Decoded, giving us 7 myths debunked about cultural appropriation. I mean, that pretty much wraps it up, right? Like, touches all the points that we were talking about in the first half of the segment. And I hope that y'all learned something about cultural appropriation. I think I've learned a little bit, too, to have multiple different perspectives, especially the Cash Me Outside poem that we listened to in the first half. So, as we are coming to the end of our time, thank y'all for listening. You can catch us next week and every Friday at 6 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. If you are 12 to 18 and want to get involved in programming our radio show, join us for radio workshop at the Catskill Youth Clubhouse, 455 Main Street, every Thursday and Friday at 5 p.m. Next week on Clubhouse Radio, listen to our tracks pre-recorded show. We've got some new tracks from Dope Boy Menace and other youth at the clubhouse, DJ Ty. We also have the theme songs from DJ A and DJ WIC also. So as we close out, we'll have a couple shout-outs. Big thank you to Wayfarm and WGXC for making this radio program possible, the Catskill and Hudson Youth Clubhouses and Mental Health Association of Columbia Green Counties for supporting this program. And if y'all have any feedback for us, we have a email address, ourtownourtruth@gmail.com. That's ourtownourtruth. @gmail.com, and we'll read some of your emails on air. let us know what you think of the program. We'd love that. All right. Please enjoy Dreamville, Under the Sun, featuring J. Cole, DaBaby, and Loot. Catch y'all next week.
You miss me. And you can't find me nowhere. I done seen it all.
Nothing new under the sun, nobody with sun. I got a couple of sons, a couple of guns, a couple of niggas that bust up the party and fuck up the fun. She digging me and I'm cuffing a friend. She igging you while we digging for fun. I got a suck in her thumb, that my little baby. She call me daddy like grandmama baby. If this Sunday dinner, my hand on the gravy. I've been on the craziest wave. If I'm on the stage, it ends my minimum wage. This ain't no kennel, but hey. Without that barking, we sending them straight. So in a way, we the dog catchers. How many bullets your dog catching? Sawed off, fashion. Hard off, hope dog catch. Damn.
I woke up for some money. Hey, Luke. Too many ops in you. Tell me who you with. Hey.
Potato over my gun. I'm moving silence because niggas be clocking my funds. When they should keep eye on they boots because baby girl coming with sun. Be judging my move, but please tell me what have you done. My cousin that air out the party for fun. Risk get to squeezing. Wish a nigga would like Liam Neeson. I don't even need a reason. Loyalty over treason. Bitch, then come and see me. Put some respect on my name. What side of my city I claim? I try to stay in my lane. Took my advance and put a caprice on them fangs. I'm baited forward till the wheels fall. No, so getting probably pissed off. Who would thought I made it this far? Gold mouth, bitch. Fuck them all.
I woke up for some money.
I just put diamonds on all of my teeth. Now they probably think I ain't intelligent. In the homicide unit interrogation, asking questions, you know I ain't tell them shit. Just call me a jock all American. I'm at the top of my class with my letterman. I remember back in college, bitches knocking on my dorm door. I ain't never let them in. Now you know that that's cap, no, I hit a few. Ain't no job, I'm selling gas like I'm Jiffy Lube. I had a free use of my boyfriend in class. I hear her from the back from like 10 to 2. No back and forth with these rappers. They mention me dissing me. No talking back, I won't mention you. Watch when I come put that eye on your ears. And I did, they gon' want me to snitch in my interview. I'm on fire, bitch, I'm lit, but I'm really cool. Don't acknowledge the when they ridicule, they don't come out at the dark. I swim with the sharks. You ain't got enough heart, get a bigger pool. Wanna fight, but he bigger. I ain't really tripping. Reach under my shirt, grab a bigger tool. I got a guy with a dick. Let's get physical. They gon' be hollering out, ripping. They missing you. They got me started. I might as well finish. I'm from Charlotte. You know I didn't even do, babe.
I woke up for some money. Hey, Luke. Too many ops in you. Tell me who you with.
Washington, D.C., that's where I am. Oh no, poor me. Even though I'm at the bottom of the list, oh Lord, I never wanted this. So won't you please, please pay attention to the following line of succession that's been in place since the 1700s till today. It all began when the president had a sudden and total awakening that completely rearranged their state of heart. And even worse than a newly grown moral compass and a developing code of ethics, they got into art. And so out the White House they went, and next came the vice president who ate too much drywall after seeing Lincoln's ghost float oh so very disapprovingly down the hall. And so the Speaker of the House of Representatives prepared to lead, but due to their old jobs, roles, and responsibilities, they rarely spoke. And so ironically, when it came time to talk, they clammed up. And so the President pro tempore of the Senate showed up. but soon discovered San Noriku left the White House for the cup. Look it up. And so in came the Secretary of State, but a heart attack was their fate. And so in came the Secretary of the Treasury, but swiftly called it quits the minute they saw their feet. And so the Secretary of Defense arrived. It was a miracle that they survived after ingesting Jimson weed with the Havasubai. And as they rolled them out the joint, the Attorney General, they did appoint. Whoopee! But before they went to bed, they self-immolated, didn't even bother turning out the light. And so the Secretary of the Interior, though feeling morally superior, got caught that night on a dark website. And so the Secretary of Agriculture became top brass, but a heart attack at mass put him under the grass. And so the Secretary of Commerce made their debut on Pennsylvania Avenue, but after sniffing too much glue, not one more day could they get through, no. And in came the Secretary of Labor, but the time soon was done when they suggested a guaranteed income. And so the Secretary of Health and Human Services we chose, but their willingness to expose the truth about UFOs, they did oppose. And so the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development they did recruit, but their red beginner's mind became a monk and soon resigned before they got the boot. And so the Secretary of Transportation we welcomed aboard, but the subway stopped halfway and service is yet to be restored. Oh no. And so the Secretary of Energy we did enlist, but soon had to desist after the million scandalous tryst. But it wasn't even that. Somebody found their prayer mat. Oh no. And so in came the Secretary of Education, but they showed up with a letter of resignation. And so the Secretary of Veterans Affairs became Commander-in-Chief. But the resulting HRV that not even TMS or EMDR or CBT could relieve their hypersensitivity, and so naturally they had to go into recovery. And so in came the Secretary of Homeland Security, but after trying to explain that the matriarchy simply means equality, it was all too scary, we had to set him free. And roughly